This is Becca Herman with Kit Herman. Say hi, Kit.
Hi.
And this is Conversations with My Son. So as you guessed, Kit is my son. And we're going to be talking about philosophy today. So I think this is an odd subject to be bringing up in the context of parenting. And this is something you suggested, Kit. So do you want to tell me what made you think about this?
Sure. I want to go with something that was deep and meaningful discussions, right? I think that making sure that when you're a parent and you're engaging with your child, that you don't have solely superficial conversations. You know, it's not the classic sitting at a dinner table and going, how was school today? What'd you learn at school today? You know, and then just ending it there. But having, you know, more intricate discussions, talking about what they're feeling, why are they feeling it, what do they feel about certain things and aspects, and just getting to know more deep and intricate ideas behind that person, the way they think, and having understandings of how logical processes work, you know, how they come to certain conclusions and why they come to certain conclusions.
Okay, so would you say that our family had lots of meaningful conversations?
Yeah, I'd say we had a decent amount of meaningful conversations. And I think that that's also seen in a large number of our relatives who also had deep meaningful conversations with us. It was pretty entertaining. Like my uncle is actually a philosopher. So we get a lot of information from him because, you know, he's, you know, just a spout of wisdom, right? You'd be able to talk to him about pretty much all sorts of random information. But even if you talk to someone like my mother or my father, both of them have a relatively deep understanding of a lot of different intricate topics. And so when you carry on a conversation, it wasn't necessarily just, hey, how's it going? It was, you know, let's talk about this, right? You talk about just things that are happening in the world and what people think about it, your opinions and ideas.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because we started fairly young with you guys too. So now, obviously, when you're very young, the way the world is very different from us when you get older. So in young children, you know, there are no grays. It's just black and white. Things are good or bad. And as you become older, you start thinking about things. And we did a lot of questioning you guys about, you know, if you would say something, we'd always ask, why would you say that? Why do you think that? And not in a challenging way, but more as a, to understand where you were coming from. And I think that that also encouraged you guys to be in a curious state and talk to different people about their own philosophies and ideas. So, yeah, so some, give me examples of some of the conversations you have.
So I'd say a good conversation where when I was a kid, my parents did a series of recordings that were just, they'd ask us a bunch of just random questions throughout our life. And they just want to see what we thought and how we thought over a certain period of questions. So when I was a kid, dad would ask me this one question, which was basically, if a man had a wife that was dying, or a son or a daughter, and they had this terrible illness, and there was a factory next door, and the factory was selling the cure to this illness, but the guy just didn't have enough money, would it be okay for him to go and steal the medicine to save this person's life? And, you know, of course, the answer changes as you're growing, because you're in different mental states. And your brain is at different developmental periods. And so I think that, you know, those types of questions, those types of just philosophical questions that you run by your kid and understand their state of mind, their state of being, help to just, you know, get a better understanding of that kind of stuff in general. And it also is shown that having more deep and in-depth conversation with other people that are actually, you know, thought-provoking is good for mental health. So there are some links with it, even especially for elderly people, that if your mind is constantly stimulated, it'll show reduced effects when it comes to things like Alzheimer's and other mental disorders. And I think that problem is that a lot of people, they eventually just degrade down into very superficial conversation, and they don't have deep and meaningful conversations with others.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes from Eleanor Roosevelt, and don't quote me on this, I believe it's her quote, but is that, you know, there are three types of conversations. There are some people who talk about people, there are people who talk about things, and there are people who talk about ideas. And I think that what you're referring to is, you know, the idea conversations, and we definitely have abundance of that in our household. As you mentioned, your uncle is an armchair intellectual, very intelligent human being, and spends a lot of time thinking through some truly, you know, complex issues, and reflects on world events. And I think one of the trends in our house was that we never shied away from those conversations with kids. Ken's pet peeve was baby talk or talking down to children. So we always conversed with you as if you were human beings with less information. And yes, there are developmental stages. So the, you know, the medicine example that you gave, yes, there was a time in your developmental stage at a certain age where you wouldn't perceive the implications of the moral implications of, you know, allowing a person to die is a larger sin than stealing, but we still included you in those conversations, and we did not invalidate your responses. We didn't insult you or talk down to you based on your responses, because it was just, for us, it was curious just to know what stage you were at. And of course, once you got to maturity, conversations became so much more interesting because you had your own opinions, and each one of you brought your own, you know, sort of morality and ideas and philosophy into the conversations. So it became more fun to have conversations.
Yeah, and those are the types of conversations that I don't think you should shy away from, right? I mean, there will be times when you're probably asked a question that you don't have an answer to.
Yes.
And, you know, I think it's that's an interesting experience, right? Because it's that change from when you're the super dad or the super mom, and you turn into a human being who's also just on this planet and having a conversation. You've got more experience, and you can help them out. You can assist, and you can do things like that. And it's that transformation where you're not only somebody's parent, but you're also their friend, and you're assisting right. them, you're helping them.
Yeah. I think that in some ways you're almost coaching your kids into life. So you're an ally, and you know, having that kind of relationship where not only are you sort of having those deep meaningful questions, but allowing them to have those deep meaningful questions of you, your motivations, is also important. Because at the end of the day, you know, I don't want to be a god in your eyes, but I want to give you logical reasons for why we do certain things certain ways. And I find that having those kinds of conversations, so you know, a great example is the whole drugs thing. Your father has never, ever had a drop of alcohol or any drugs. I'm really not into drugs, but I drink. I have a glass of wine on occasion, and beer. But when you got told at school that, you know, trying drug once can kill you, we had an honest conversation with you guys on that, because we didn't want to give, you know, fill your head with falsehoods. And we also spoke about, you know, drugs as reality, why people do it, and why there is a high risk of illegal drugs, not only the legal consequences, but also, you know, getting it from a source that's not reliable can cause harm. And, you know, and I don't think that we ever ran into any immoral behavior issues with you guys. And I think that's a result of these conversations. What do you think?
I'd agree. I think that, you know, there's that idea, right? This is an old saying, but I think it applies here. You can give a man a fish and feed him for a day, or you can teach a man a fish and have him fed for the rest of his life. Well, you can give a person a thought, right? You can say, okay, this is how you're going to think in this situation. Mm. And they'll be good in that situation. And then the second it's a different situation, it's like, oh, well, it doesn't apply. I don't know what to do here. Or you can teach a person how to think for themselves, and then they can apply these broader ideas and these general knowledges that they've learned to more diverse situations that can occur. And then they can think of the ramifications that happen to themselves, right? Because if you just try and fill a person's idea with this, you know, this one core idea, like let's say for the drugs, for example, if you tell a person you take a drug once, you're going to die. And then all of a sudden, you know, that reality, which you built this entire thought process, these logics upon, is shown to be untrue. Well, you just throw the baby out with the bathwater. You're just like, you know what? This was all a lie. Why should I trust any of it? Why should I trust anything that was said to me? And so you get into these difficult situations where these people who are told to think in certain situations are, you know, either figuring out that they were lied to and being like, you know what? I need to rebel and I need to change my thought process and I do need to do this in a different way. Or they go, you know what? I'm just in this new situation. I'm breaking under peer pressure because, you know, my parents aren't here to enforce that one, you can't do this in this situation rule. And they're not there to like guard over you or watch over you. And so you can't think for yourself. And so you succumb to groupthink, right? Mm. And so it's those two different ideas where either flat out lying or just telling them how to think, I think have a negative effect on the person's mental health overall.
Right. And you brought up a very good term in this, trust. And I think that, you know, without knowing or understanding a person's philosophical ideas and values, it's hard to trust them, right? Because if you're not standing on a well thought out of foundation, then you could change based on circumstances very easily. And so that's why in order to build trust, you need clarity. You need to understand where a person is coming from. And I think by us having candid discussions on difficult topics with you and being honest about what our opinions and why we had the conclusions that we had created more trust between you and I. Or, you know, your sister and I and your dad or your uncle for that matter. And because of that, we had clarity of where everybody stood and what we could depend on them for. Right. And I think that that's why you guys didn't need to act out as much as some kids do, because I don't think that most children even understand their parents' philosophy at all. Or most parents don't understand their children's philosophy at all.
Or most parents don't understand their own philosophy. And most children don't understand their own philosophy. And it's true. You've got to probe your own self for this, a lot of these answers.
Right, right. So yeah, most people are living unexamined lives. And I think that as a parent, it is your responsibility to not only be clear on what you're up to, but also have the same type of clarity and give the tools to discover those things to your children by having the deep discussions and, you know, discussions on big ideas and what they're up to. And I think that, you know, it's funny because we talked about this in the last conversation we had, one of the conversations we had on careers. And you've done some U-turns and, you know, zigzag turns through your early 20s. And it was never troublesome for me because I understood you, because I knew where you were coming from. And so if I had not taken the time to understand where you're coming from, I could have drawn some superficial conclusions that maybe you're lost and, you know, maybe you're making these choices out of desperation or you're asking for help or something. And I didn't draw those conclusions because I was clear on where you were coming from. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. So, all right. So anything else you want to say about philosophy?
I think we did a pretty good job covering it.
Okay. So yeah, figure out your own philosophy and help your children figure out theirs by having deep, meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
All right. So that's it for this conversation. And we'll talk to you soon.